I invite you to turn to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 6. And I am I'm an old horse trying to learn new tricks. I am going to preach out of my tablet. I've done this a couple times, and I hope that doesn't offend anybody. Instead of making paper notes, I've decided to save paper. My wife was very, I say cheap, but my church members called her frugal. And she knew how to squeeze every ounce out of a nickel. And I've developed some of her tendencies to be cheap sometimes. And so I hate printing my sermons and then just throwing them away. And so I've started trying to do it in this manner, if the Lord will allow me to do that. And so I hope that you will allow me to do that as we look at these thoughts tonight. I want to look at not so much as a title, but a thought, looking back and anticipating ahead, so that we might live today in a way that will glorify God. We've heard the thought mentioned of remembering and reminding us tonight already a few times. And we need to be reminded. We forget. We become complacent. We become indifferent. Sometimes we become, our conscience even becomes seared that we're not sensitive to the things of God anymore, because of the influence that the world has on us and the time that we spend in the world and the things that we dwell on so much in the world. And so we want to try to encourage us to take a look back at some things in our life. It's not always good to look back if you're not looking back for the right reason. We know Lot looked back as she longed for her family, I believe, that was left in Sodom and Gomorrah. And she looked back, and the Lord told him not to, and she turned into a pillar of salt. We know that the Lord tells us that any man that puts his hands to the plow and looketh back is not worthy of the kingdom of God. We're not to look back longingly to the world that the Lord's called us out of, Amen. But we're to live that sanctified, holy life that he has called us to live before others, that we might not only verbally declare the gospel, but that we might live the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ before others. So there are times in which it's not good to look back. Israel looked back frequently. Every time they had a problem on their journey to the promised land, they would look back and long for the leeks and the onions and the flesh pots of back in Egypt, forgetting all the turmoil and the suffering and the slavery and the bondage that they were under. They only remembered the things that they thought were prosperous to them. And we sometimes that are saved out of our sins, from our sins, we who sometimes are called to serve God, forget what we were and what we could have been had it not been for the grace of God. And I think if we can recall that, and if we can remember where we were when God saved us and realize what we could have been had God not intervened in our lives, it will help us to be more faithful to Him today. And as we look to the future and realize what we shall be one day. So in Deuteronomy chapter 6, we'll just begin reading at verse 1. This is the new generation that God has given the promised land. He's going to lead them in. Moses has given instruction to them. Moses realizes that they are going to prosper in this new land, much like we, as we were saved out of our sin and came out of the spiritual Egypt. The Lord blessed us, and we benefited from many great and wonderful things. But in prosperity, there is danger. It is much easier to be close to God during times of trial. I have prayed more in these past 4 months. I have been prayed for more in these past 4 months than probably all my life because of the trial of the loss of my wife. It brings us closer to our Heavenly Father. We need to be there, and He is willing to receive us when we come. But in prosperity, sometimes we forget how great God is to us every day. So let's think about this as we read these verses. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it. It's good to know God's law. It's good to know God's judgments and statutes and principles and precepts. But it's a whole lot better to do them. You know, it's not those that know, it's those that do. You know, I know what the Bible says. Well, why don't you do it? You know, it's kind of that thing. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy father hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day, that they shall be written in thy heart, or they shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them as a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thine house, and on thy gate. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, and to give great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, and vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, and when thou shalt have eaten and be full. And you know, spiritually, the Lord has saved us out of the land of Egypt, the spiritual sin of place of sin and depravity and ungodliness. And he has given us all of these great things and blessed us tremendously. You know, it's amazing, some of you I've never met before. But I'm sure if I just have an opportunity to spend a few minutes with you, I will love you in the Lord. You will be new friends for eternity. Isn't that amazing how that can happen? How the Lord can give us brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world. How the Lord can give us spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers that love us and care for us. You know, there was a lady at 12 Ryan. For years, we called our second mother, my wife and I. And she passed away just a couple years ago. But she sent us birthday cards and anniversary cards every year. We were in Florida for 11 years. And she signed it, "Your Second Mom." Isn't that great? We got second and third and fourth and fifth moms and dads. That the Lord gives. Boy, what benefits we have in our Lord. But if we're not careful, we begin to coast along in this wonderful blessing that God's given us in salvation. He says in verse 12, "Then beware, lest thou forget the Lord." Is it possible to forget the Lord? Well, evidently it must be, because he gave a warning. His chosen people that he chose, Israel, "Be careful lest you forget me." And I'm afraid that we forget the Lord sometimes. Don't we? We forget how much he loved us when he stretched out his arms and laid on the cross of Calvary. We forget that. And we forget what we were when he did that. Lest we forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him, and thou shalt swear by his name. Ye shall not go after other gods of the gods of the people which are around about you. For the Lord thy God is a jealous God among you. Let the anger of the Lord thy God be kindled against thee and destroy thee from off the face of the earth. Do we ever go after other gods? We don't have gods as they did in this time period, in this culture and history. We don't have gods like they did during the Roman Empire and the Greek Empire, Zeus and Aphrodite and Mercury and all the different ones, Hercules and all these different ones. But we have gods. Pleasure.
You're right.
Possessions. Right? I mean, and anything that you put before God becomes your god. Anything. Your family can become a god.
You're right.
And he said, be careful that you don't forget the Lord and take on other gods. Ye shall not tempt the Lord your God as ye tempted him in Massah. Ye shall diligently keep the commandments of the Lord your God and his testimonies and his statutes which he hath commanded thee. And thou shalt do that which is right and good in the sight of the Lord, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest go in and possess the good land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to cast out all the enemies from before thee, as the Lord hath spoken. And when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what mean these testimonies and statutes and judgments which the Lord the God has commanded? Then thou shalt say unto thy son, we were Pharaoh's bondmen in Egypt, and the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand. And the Lord showed signs and wonders and great and sore upon Egypt, upon Pharaoh, and upon all his household before our eyes. And he brought us out from thence, that he might bring us in to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. And the Lord commanded us to do all these statutes, to fear the Lord our God, for our good always, that he might preserve us alive as it is at this day. And it shall be our righteousness if we observe to do all the commandments before the Lord our God, as he hath commanded us. So we are to not only know the commandments, but to do them. And in doing them, it is good for us. God does not tell us to do anything that will harm us. He tells us to do things that will bless us and help us. And so as we think, we want to take a journey back, and we want to remember a few things about our life. There's a song that says, "Roll back the curtain of memories now and then. Show me where you brought me from and where I could have been. Just remember I'm human, and humans forget." We do, don't we? "So remind me, dear Lord. Nothing good have I done to deserve God's own son. I'm not worthy of the scars in his hands. Yet he chose the road to Calvary to die in my stead. Why he loved me, I can't understand." We need to be reminded.
Amen.
Reminded of what we were. Look back to see what we were, to see what we could have been. Look ahead to anticipate what we're going to be. There is great blessings as we hear the Word of God preached and we read the Word of God and we anticipate what one day we shall be in eternity. And then we should look around us and see what we should be doing for God that is so great, that has been great and is great to us and will be great to us. First of all, what were we? Well, we were lost and undone. We were the enemies and at enmity with God. We had no love for God, neither did we seek after God.
Right.
The lust of the flesh we did, fulfilling our own desires.
Amen.
We were sinners, totally depraved, totally unable to do anything good Godward.
Right.
Now I say that because there are lost people that do good things manward. There are good organizations out there, and there are people who do good and noble deeds on a horizontal plane. But when it comes to doing good toward God, all of our righteousnesses are filthy rags. We're like a putrefying sore from the top of our head to the sole of our feet before God. We are ungodly, unholy, and undone. That's what we were before the Lord saved us. Look at Romans chapter 3, if you will. And I know you know this, but if you're like me, sometimes we just kind of forget. We kind of forget what we were, what we could have been, were not for God's intervention in our lives. He says in Romans chapter 3, verse 10, "As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way, they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throats is an open sepulchre." Or, in other words, dead men's bones, the rot and the stench of a body decaying, if you will. That's what we were in this sepulcher. "With their tongues you have used deceit, and the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace have they not known. There is none that fear God before, there is no fear of God before their eyes." In the book of Genesis, God said every thought and imagination was only wicked continually.
Right.
"The heart is desperately wicked," Jeremiah said. Who can even know it? It is so desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. Look at Ephesians chapter 2. We love Ephesians chapter 2, especially verse 8, 9, and 10, don't we?
Right.
We love the grace. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But we're thinking right now of what we were before God revealed his grace to us. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." We were dead. We were walking, if you will, almost like zombies. I don't like to make reference to that just because of all the movies and television shows they have out there. I don't watch it. I don't know if you do or not, but I hear a lot of talk about it. But I understand that a zombie is a walking dead person. Well, that's what we were before he saved us. We were walking dead people. We couldn't do anything Godward that God would love or appreciate or accept. And he goes on down and he says, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of the world, according to the prince and the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. That's what I was. That's what you were before God's grace came into your heart. And no matter how bad you were, you could have been worse. Were it not for the grace of God.
Amen.
And we need to remember what he saved us from. We remember to see that we were a child of Satan. You are of your father the devil. And his lust and the lust of your father you will do, Jesus said in John chapter 8 and verse 44. Romans chapter 1 tells us that they love the creature more than the creator. That's what the world does. That's what we did. We worship creation instead of worshiping the creator of creation. Sin was our life. Sin was our master. The world was our heaven. Can you imagine? Referring to the world as heaven? But that's what it was for us. That's what we desired. And sometimes it seems like that's what some people in churches desire now. That heaven. That's not like the heaven where my wife's at right now. It's a different place. It's a better place, isn't it? We had no good desires. We had no holy ambitions. We had no saving merit. We rebelled against God's law. We hated His law, despised His gospel, and we hated God's people when we were lost. We despised God's people coming to us and trying to save us from our sins. Save yourself and others if you be the Christ, is what they cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ as He died on the cross. It's amazing if you think about it. How wretched and undone and unholy we were. The song says it right when it says, such a worm as I. God could have and been just to crush us and send us to everlasting hell. He would have been perfectly just and holy to do that. But He didn't. That little word, but. Oh, but the grace of God. The long-suffering and the patience and the sovereign grace of God. What we were. But what are we? For what I am now, I once was not, some person said. Now, aren't you glad you're not? You're not what you were? But you know what? You're not what you're going to be either. But what are we now? Well, I'm saved. I'm a child of the King. Child of the King. I'm a child of God.
Amen.
I am joint heirs with the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Does that boggle your mind?
Yeah.
Me, a horrible sinner, wretched, blind, and miserable, unholy. And now I am joint heirs with Christ. A son of God. Boy, that should cause you to rejoice, shouldn't it? It should cause you to think a little bit about what God's done for you. He's given me peace in my soul because He has forgiven me of all my transgressions, all of my iniquities, and all of my sins. The past, the present, and those that I will commit yet in the future.
Amen.
You know, even though God saved me, and this is a sad part, even though He has saved me, and when I stop and realize what He saved me from, I still fail Him today. By either acts of commission that I ought not to do, evil thoughts, evil deeds, evil words, or by not doing the things that I ought to do. By not witnessing at opportunities that the Lord gives me. By not living as godly as I ought to live at times. We don't live as faithfully and sanctified lives as Brother Titus talked about that we should. We're not giving ourselves a living sacrifice. You know, a lot of times we think the way our world's getting, we may be one day approached to die for Christ. It may come to that in this country.
Right.
Some of our Christian brothers and sisters are doing that in other countries. They're dying for their faith. And we may come to that, and we like to imagine that if it were presented to us either to deny our Christ or die, that we would say, then go ahead and blow my brains out because I am not denying my Christ. We would like to say that. And in one sense, it's easier to die for Christ because it's a momentary action that's over in a second and you're in glory.
Right.
You know, if you think about it, I mean, what's the worst they can do to you? Send you to heaven? You know. But it's not as easy to live for Christ. Because living for Christ is a moment by moment, hour by hour, day by day, week by week, month by month, year by year life. All the time. Living for Jesus. That's what we ought to be doing. Living for Jesus. He filled me with joy and gladness. Somebody asked me one day how I was doing, and they said, you look happy today. And I said, well, I'm not really happy, but I'm joyful. And there's a difference. I have a joy that's inside of my soul that the Lord's given me. It's not mine. I didn't muster it up. I still have moments where I can laugh, and I still have moments where I rejoice in things. And then I have moments where I weep and I cry and I'm sad. And I have pity parties, mostly at night, in loneliness and darkness. But I still have a peace that overwhelms me. I don't understand how I can keep going. You would have had to know my wife, and you would have had to know how much she did for me. Some people say that my wife, my better half, she was my better 99 9/10%. And I'm not exaggerating a whole lot. She did everything. I was spoiled rotten. I was telling Brother Hugan on the way down here, I never packed a suitcase. He said, did you get everything packed? I said, I hope so. I've never done that before. Shaving kits, you know. I mean, there's so many things you have to think about. I mean, that's like, wow, you know. I thought that stuff just automatically appeared when we got to the motel. Look, shaving kit, you know. But even in my great loss, I have great joy in my Savior, because I know He took her to heaven, and one day He'll take me. I still miss her horribly, and even have thoughts occasionally, Lord, can't you just send her back for a little while? And then I ask Him to forgive me for those thoughts. But they're just human thoughts. But He's given me joy. He's put within my heart a desire to honor and glorify Him. You know, before the Lord saved me, I never wanted to go to church. I hated going to church. My mom and dad didn't make us go very often, but occasionally they would make us go to church. And I hated going to church. It was so boring. But after the Lord saved me, you know what? Ever since the Lord has saved me, I love the Lord's church. I don't want to miss church for anything. I have to occasionally, sickness and circumstances out of my control. But when I don't go to church and my whole week is out of tilt, something's missing. Something's missing this week. It's that time that we spend with the Lord. Because we go there because the Lord is there. And we're in the presence of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And holy angels and brothers and sisters in Christ that were saved from their sins just like I was. He put that desire in my heart to do that. I didn't muster that up. That was all given to me by God. He loads us with benefits, the Bible says. I'm just going to read these. They're found in Psalm 68, 103, and 116. Blessed be the Lord who daily loadeth us with benefits, even the God of our salvation. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. What shall I render unto the Lord for all of His benefits? Oh, what shall I render? You see, sometimes we begin to walk in such a complacent life. We become lukewarm at the very best. We don't serve the Lord we may serve Him, but we don't serve Him with joy and gladness, like Brother Titus mentioned. We're not excited about our service. We've forgotten what the Lord saved us from, where we were and where we could have been, and what He's done for us now in our salvation. What we are by grace. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, but by the grace of God I am what I am. And His grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Oh, it's by the grace of God that I'm what I am, and you are what you are.
Right.
It's by the grace of God. He says in 2 Corinthians 1:12, for our rejoicing in this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you, Word. By the grace of God, we do those things. what we are today, the child of the King, the Son of God, the sons of God and daughters of God, if you will, joint heirs with Jesus Christ, saved and going to heaven. Anything good in me, anything good that I've ever done is because of the grace of God. Even though I was so depraved, such an ungodly, worthless sinner, God has saved me and led me to scriptural baptism. And He put within my heart a will to be a member of His church and to serve. All of that's of God. None of it's mine. I didn't have it. It's all God's grace. For by the grace of God, I am what I am. All of grace is my story, all the way from earth to glory. Since by grace He lifted me from sin and woe, living grace He has extended, as on Him my heart depended. He'll give new grace when it's my time to go. People say sometimes, are you ready to go? I don't know. Not yet. But He'll give me the grace when it's time. I think when it's our time to go, the Lord starts preparing our hearts. I noticed when my dad had terminal pulmonary fibrosis, and I noticed that in the last year of his life, he was constantly in the Word of God. More so than usual. He read the Bible all the time. Everywhere he went, he took the Bible with him. Every remembrance I have of my dad, he lived in Texas, and every time I saw him, I had this memory just burnt in my mind of my dad sitting in his great big red lazy boy chair reading the Bible. He just couldn't get enough of it all the time. And he died just shortly after that. And I was thinking about that the other day, and I remembered something that my wife, in the past few weeks before she died, was spending a lot more time in the Word of God. I don't know if it's a premonition, if it was coincidence, or if God was just getting her ready.
Right.
To come home. He's a great God.
Amen.
And all of His grace. It's all of His grace. By grace I'm a new creature, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which He hath before ordained that I should walk in them. Right? I mean, not that I, you know, if I want to, you know, I should be walking in them. By grace I'm pardoned, justified, accepted of God. By grace I am Christ and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. By grace I'm a child of God. I'm a temple of the Holy Spirit who indwells in me. Talked about the Holy Spirit the other night. You know, the Holy Spirit does a lot. He instructs us in the Word of God. He brings things to our remembrance as we study. He helps us to pray when we don't know how. He works in us effectually in the preaching of the Word to bring us into repentance and faith in Jesus Christ. The Holy Spirit is there with us. Grace called me, and God's grace made me willing to come when He called. All of grace. That's what I am now. I'm washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I would have died in my sins and gone to hell had not Christ intervened.
Amen.
Before the time, before eternity, and loving me with an everlasting love, and choosing me and drawing me in time, convicting me through the preaching of His Word, bringing me to repentance and faith. And the same is true for you. That's what we need to remember, what we were and what we are. We're a debtor to grace. If anyone should love grace, we should love grace. Shouldn't we? We should love God's marvelous grace. We should magnify God's grace. We owe everything that we are to the grace of God. I am not now what I once was. Why? Because of the grace of God. I am not now what I shall be. Why? Because of the grace of God. 1 Corinthians 2:9 says, but as it is written, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, neither have entered into the hearts of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. We've seen some marvelous things in God's creation. I mean, God has just made beauty. He's painted some beautiful landscapes, hasn't He? Sunrises and sunsets. A lightning storm. I don't like to see things damaged, but I love to watch God's power demonstrated in the storms. We've seen some beautiful things, but we haven't seen anything yet. God has prepared something for us that is so marvelous, we could not receive it were He to give it to us now. our minds couldn't understand it. It couldn't contain the wonders of God's blessings. But we know when Jesus comes, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Think about that for a moment. Be like Jesus. What was Jesus like? Loving, kind, long-suffering, patient, gentle, forbearing, forgiving, faithful. God is faithful, isn't he? Faithful to us. We shall be like Jesus. We will have a perfect, pure love one for the other. That's something to have, isn't it? We shall be immortal, incorruptible. We shall rule and reign with him forever.
Amen.
That's what we shall be. All because of what Jesus did to us when we were what we were. 1 John 3:2 says, Beloved, are you now the sons of God? And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Paul says, Who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is able, even to subdue all things unto himself. He further writes, But we all, with an open face, beholding in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. I believe strongly that Romans 8:28, where it says, For we know that all things work together for those who love God, who are the called according to his purpose. I believe those all things are things that are conforming us to the image of Christ. He's talking about those things that will cause us to become more like. He's burning off the dross. He is like the silversmith who has put us into the furnace. And he's heating up the silver to burn off the waste and the dross. Someone asked one time, How do you know when the silver is finished? And the silversmith said, When I can see my reflection in it. And that's what we ought to see, isn't it? The reflection of Jesus Christ when we look into the mirror of God's Word. What Jesus is like is what we ought to want to be. We shall be free from sin, free from care, free from pain. We shall be free from conflict. We shall be free from doubt. We shall be free from fear. There'll be no darkness, only light. There'll be no depression, no sadness, no doubting, no sorrow. There'll be no departings and no separations. Amen. One day. That's what we have coming. That's what we can anticipate that God has for us one day. And we shall be like him, our Savior. Absent from the body, present with our Lord. Then we shall see and hear and know all we desire and wished below. And flesh and sin no more control the sacred pleasures of my soul. How different I am now from what I once was. And how different I shall be when I'm in heaven with my Savior. Now how does that affect us today? As we go out into the world and live our busy lives, at work, at play, raising our families, at home, how does that affect us knowing what we once were, remembering what we could have been, and realizing what Christ has done for us and what he has yet to do for us? It should motivate us, it should compel us to be faithful in our daily walk, to walk worthy of the vocation for which we are called, that we might serve him with all pleasing and all acceptance. And we do that by studying his word to show ourselves unto God a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing his word of truth.
Amen.
Studying his word because all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God, the woman of God, the boy of God, and the girl of God may be perfectly furnished unto all good works.
Yeah.
That he hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We ought to be faithful. And if we're not, we need to stop and take a journey back to before the Lord saved us.
Right.
And remember what we were and what we could have been and where we could have been going. Had it not been for the marvelous grace, the infinite grace, the matchless grace, the amazing grace of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Who one day is going to come to take us home. Don't you want to be found faithful when that day comes?
Amen.
And it may be a lot sooner. Have you heard the news lately about the Pope and all he's doing and how he's getting involved in the world of affairs and wants the world to become one world government controlling the green gas effect or whatever it is to do with worshiping the creature rather than the creator, I guess. How he's put his stamp of approval on gay marriage. You know, more and more our churches, our kind of churches are becoming more and more narrowed down to the only churches that are going to make a stand on this.
You're right.
We're going to stand out like a sore thumb.
Mm-hmm.
We need to get ready for it and prepare for it. And we need to stand fast and serve the Lord because of what we were, what we could have been, and what we're going to be, all by the grace of our marvelous Savior, Jesus Christ. May God bless you. Thank you, brother.
Amen. Amen.